The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome! Welcome to The Big Show. We got, we got a lot of news to talk about today. So let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
I'll tell you something. There's something in the news today on a national basis that illustrates the miracle that I still have a radio show. Have you heard what happened to Norm MacDonald, who I think is the funniest stand-up comic working today? Norm MacDonald, I went to Vegas. My wife and some friends and I went to Vegas a couple of months ago. And one of the main reasons we went was because we had secured tickets to go see Norm MacDonald down there. And he's just, I just don't think there's anybody funnier than him. So I'll get to what happened to him in just a moment here. But if you've been listening the last couple of days, there's been a big controversy about our radio show. Because I dared say something that some people didn't like, which I tend to do on a pretty regular basis, apparently. A couple weeks ago, it was about all these teacher strikes that are going on all around the region. And I dared to say that given where teacher pay is and the amount of time they get off, I don't think it is fair to ask the truck driver who works 10, 12-hour days and makes 60 grand a year. I just don't think it's fair for teachers. You know, we're talking about the couple, the man and wife who make $180,000 as teachers, as a couple. And I said, is it fair for them to ask that truck driver who works 10-hour days, 50 weeks a year, brings home, doesn't even bring home, makes $60,000, brings home less than 50. Maybe he's got a wife. Maybe he's got a couple of kids. Maybe mom stays home with the kids. Is it fair to ask him for more money? Which is what's going to happen with all these raises that are going on. The districts don't have enough money to pay the raises for more than a year or two. And then they're going to come to us for a massive tax increase. And so I dared say, not a popular thing around here, apparently, because, man, I was bombarded with hate. So that was a couple weeks ago. And then if you've been listening the last couple of days, the issue was this drag queen story time down at the Renton King County Library. And ironically, the library sent this bizarre statement that they encourage people to have a discussion about issues like this, after they said they would not come on and talk with me about it. And they said, if you don't want to participate, don't participate. Well, all of us send hundreds of dollars a year to the King County Library, if you live in King County. But wherever you live, you send, in King County, it's hundreds of dollars in property taxes to the King County Library every year. Shouldn't we have some say? Or at least, shouldn't we be able to have a little dissent? And everybody asked me, so why are you so against? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this topic because I think we're all sick and tired of it. But, you know, people asked, why are you against drag queen story time? And I said, well, I think there's an attempt to make us a genderless society by some extremists on the left. And then people said, well, why is that so bad? You know, where the pronoun shim is used for everybody now. And I tried explaining that I think there's biological differences that can be celebrated between boys and girls. I don't think we're genderless. I don't think the movement is healthy for kids. I think it's confusing. And just as a little tangent, have you heard what happened to that Brown University professor? She did a study, and she wasn't coming at it as being anti-transgender or anything, but she noticed there was a severe uptick in 2016 of kids who labeled themselves transgender. And she thought, well, this would be interesting to study. Let's find out why in 2016 was there a severe uptick. And she contacted 400 some families that were in some online forums for families with transgender kids. And what she found was that it might not be I was born this way, but that most of them had friends who declared that they were transgender, and that was when the kids started declaring themselves to be transgender. And she said in this study, Brown University, Ivy League study, and what she found was peer pressure may be a factor in this. And if you think that's great and fine, that's great and fine for you. I just think it's strange to deny, you know, biological diversity. I think it's really odd. And if it is more about peer pressure, as this one. So anyway, the activists go crazy. They go nuts. You can't say that. That goes against what we say. And she said, well, I did a study. This is what I found. Brown published it, but because of the uproar, Brown University scrubbed her study from the web because she dared say something that wasn't popular, that didn't follow activists' line of thinking. And, you know, that's what I deal with. And that's why I say it's amazing I have a radio show for saying that people are overtaxed and some people are paid enough. And maybe we shouldn't have to fund libraries that do drag queen story time and all that. It's a miracle that I have a radio show. And I thought about that when I heard about this whole Norm Macdonald thing. So Norm Macdonald, the funniest comedian, well, in my mind, one of the best comedians of all time. Norm Macdonald did an interview because he's got a new Netflix show that's starting day after tomorrow. So he did an interview with a Hollywood Reporter. And one of the things they asked him was, what about when someone admits to wrongdoing? And this is a follow-up question to stuff they'd been talking about. Oh, let me back up a little bit. Norm Macdonald said, I'm happy the Me Too movement has slowed down a little bit. It used to be 100 women can't be lying. And then it became one woman can't lie, and that became I believe all women. And then you're like, what? Like that Chris Hardwick guy I really thought got the blunt end of the stick there. So that's what Norm Macdonald said. The follow-up, what about when someone admits to wrongdoing? He said, the model used to be admit wrongdoing, show complete contrition, and then we give you a second chance. Now it's admit wrongdoing and you're finished. And so the only way to survive is to deny, deny, deny. That's not healthy, that there's no forgiveness. I do think that at some point it'll end with a completely innocent person of prominence sticking a gun in his head and ending it. That's my guess. I know a couple people this has happened to. And then they asked who. Norm said, well, Louis C.K. and Roseanne are the two people I know. And Roseanne was so broken up after her reboot was canceled that I got Louis C.K. to call her, even though Roseanne was very hard on Louis before that. But she was just so broken and just crying constantly. There are very few people that have gone through what they have, losing everything in a day. Of course, people will go, what about the victims? But you know what? The victims didn't have to go through that. Okay. Very inartfully said by Norm Macdonald. The victims didn't have to go through that. But then he followed up. I'm happy the Me Too movement has slowed down a little bit. Okay, Norm Macdonald starts getting a firestorm of controversy over that. And he sent out a follow-up tweet. Roseanne and Louis have both been very good friends of mine for many years. And just as an aside, Louis C.K. is just a close comic colleague of Norm's, a friend. And Roseanne gave Norm Macdonald his start in show business as a writer on the original show back in the 80s. So he tweeted an apology. Roseanne and Louis have both been very good friends of mine for many years. They both made terrible mistakes, and I would never defend their actions. If my words sounded like I was minimizing the pain that their victims feel to this day, I am deeply sorry. So he said something inartfully, and then he sincerely apologized for it. So last night, Norm Macdonald was booked on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show to promote his Netflix show that starts day after tomorrow. NBC and the Tonight Show canceled his appearance. They canceled it because Norm Macdonald dares say that he thinks the trend line of the Me Too movement is some innocent people are going to get caught up in this. Is that such a horrible thing that NBC cannot allow him to go on with Jimmy Fallon? Is that really what we've come to now? And it shows what a wimp Jimmy Fallon is. It also shows what a lightweight he is. How fascinating would it be if you had a host who had enough intellectual heft, and Jimmy Fallon is a incredibly talented person. But wouldn't it be fascinating if he also had the intellectual heft to say, you know what, let's have Norm on. Let's talk about what he said. We'll talk about his apology, but let's talk about the merit of the argument that he thinks the Me Too thing is going to eventually trap some innocent people on the trend line, which is a fair point. It's at least a conversation that would be fascinating. Instead of Fallon giggling over Cardi B for 5 minutes, wouldn't it be fascinating if you could hear that conversation play out? But no, because Norm said something that wasn't the popular mantra, that didn't follow this attempt to just scrub all dissenting thoughts and voices from all major media. Now, what's interesting, of course, is the same network that banned, or the same company, I should say, that banned Norm Macdonald, NBC Universal, on their cable channel, in their most prominent morning show role, they have Joe Scarborough, who said this yesterday about Donald Trump.
You have people looking at a country that is saying they want to ban people from coming to America because of their religion. You have just this week, Brett Kavanaugh, who wants to be on the Supreme Court, refusing to answer whether people should be banned from coming to the United States because of their race, in his reading of the Constitution. And the accumulation of that, the retweeting of neo-Nazi videos, Charlottesville. I mean, I could go on and on. What he said about a majority black countries, that is tearing more at the fabric of America than attacks on the Twin Towers did.
Okay. Is that a debatable argument? Yeah, I guess so. Although a lot of the stuff he said was provably false, too. But is it a debatable argument? If he thinks that, then he thinks that. He's allowed to say it on NBC because he's going at he's saying that Donald Trump is worse than the 3,000 lives that were lost by airplanes flying into the Twin Towers 17 years ago yesterday. And I'm not challenging his argument. That's his opinion. He's free to have it. I just find it odd that the same company, as long as you're saying something that'll be popular with the far left, you can say the president is worse than 9/11. Because the far, I hate Trump. But if you say something that doesn't follow the popularity of the far left, and the Me Too movement is on a trend line that's going to be dangerous, you can't come on our network. You are not stepping foot in 30 Rock, Macdonald. It's bizarre. And that's why it's a miracle that in one of the bastion strongholds of the far left, I got a show. Because I say we're overtaxed. I say some government employees are paid enough, especially given 16 weeks of vacation, for saying that I'd rather my tax dollars not go to a public library that does drag queen story time. And I'm telling you, I have gotten a boatload of crap for those two particular issues just in the last 2 weeks. But not only do we have a show, you are listening in greater numbers than ever before. How'd this happen? Seriously, how does this happen in Seattle? Norm MacDonald. Oh, by the way, here's a tribute to you, though. And I know a lot of you listen to hate. And I'm sorry, because what we did, we commissioned a study. I paid for it out of my own pocket. We used the people at NASA, the Jet Propulsion Library, Oxford University, and the Sorbonne. And we said, can you judge the IQ of people based on texts and emails? And they said, well, we'll try. This was amazing. The people who disagree with me on issues, average IQ of 81. That's just a point above moron. Now, you might be a smart person who disagrees with me. You brought the average up above 80. Thanks to you. The people who agree with me on issues, 113 average IQ. So that's how I got a show. It's you. Nice job, by the way. Okay, there you have it. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. And then hookers on Aurora Avenue. Coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. It is so weird because when I was in high school, one of the things my buddies and I would do, we'd cruise up and down Aurora Avenue just because we were fascinated, wanted to look at all the prostitutes that were walking around. I'm talking about 1976, 77. We never actually bought. We were just gawking like a bunch of stupid high school boys. And then it cleaned up for most of my adult life. Aurora cleaned up. But now I saw a story on Channel 4 last night that they have at ComoNews.com that the hookers are back in full force on Aurora Avenue. And one of the people they talked to was Candace Robertson, who is with the Comfort Inn Suites on Aurora Avenue. And she joins us here on Cairo. Hey, Candace, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Hi, Dory. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so tell me what's going on outside of your hotel there.
So basically, on a good day, especially on a sunny day, starting 8 o'clock in the morning at least, there is 4 to 5 girls standing on our corner right in front of where our hotel's at, or across the street in front of the St. Vincent de Paul. Pretty much they just, 137th and Aurora seems to be just their hangout spot.
Okay.
But there's many times where they've been dropped off in our driveway, you know, and they'll stand on either side of our sign. And so people that are, you know, minivan full of kids coming in for vacation.
Right.
And they can't stay in downtown Seattle because they can't afford $500 a night. So they stay, you know, with us because it's a little bit more affordable. But they pull into the driveway and they're greeted by prostitutes. And so they come in and they say, so what's with the people outside? And I say, I'm really sorry. There's not really, you know, we call the police, but there's not really much we can do about it. And at this point, I'm just having people direct their complaints to Seattle City Council because we're getting horrible reviews. And it's not our service. It's not our cleanliness. It's not any of the amenities that we offer that they're docking us on.
Sure.
It's our neighborhood specifically. And so that's making our numbers tank. And now Choice Hotels is upset with that because they want Comfort Inns held to a specific standard. And if our neighborhood is not offering that, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So now, you know, every day I go in and it's a battle of which girl is standing on the corner. And I recognize them because I also live in that neighborhood. So, you know, I frequent that area and I see who's out there. And then I see them coming in and they try and come into the hotel, and we're very diligent about not letting, you know, unsavory characters, as we call them,
sure.
into our facility, because we're a family facility. We're a family business is what we say. You know, we don't want that type of activity in our hotel. So it's just been a deterrent for a lot of our customers. And it's really unfortunate because I grew up in this area, you know, and I have never seen it as bad as it is.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I grew up in Ballard, and it was like that when I was a kid, but we did clean it up for a long time. But now we have city leaders who have decided to, and I use the word leaders very loosely there, who have just decided to turn over the streets to drug addicts and hookers, which sadly are often one and the same. And that's why they're doing this. So who are the guys that are picking them up?
Let's see, the other day I had a Pakistani gentleman that came in. He was probably in his 30s. So it's a lot of times the men that I see trying to come in, like there was, so sorry, let me back up for a second.
Yeah.
There was an African-American male who came in and he rented the room. It was a prepaid reservation. And then I never saw him again. But then the keys that I gave him ended up in the hands of these two girls. And then the girls left. And then one of them came back with her quote unquote boyfriend.
Her date.
And So, you know, I'm not dumb. I knew what was going on. So I kicked them out. I called the police, you know, but of course, by the time the police were able to get to our location, they were long gone because the Seattle Police Department is stretched so thin when it comes to that. And they prioritized their crimes. That was one thing that they really, you know, stressed yesterday. Like if somebody is not being stabbed, they're not going to necessarily send a cop out there to address the situation if they don't have the manpower to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just one thing. And, I mean, I get that. I totally get that. But at the same point now, you know, we just need a plan in action to where we can get them the information. So this guy that rented the room the other day, I have a copy of his driver's license because I am diligent about taking copies of people's driver's license if they live with their, you know, if their address is within 50 miles of Seattle.
Sure.
Because 9 times out of 10, they're up to no good. That's just what it is, especially on Aurora. Like, it's no surprise that that's the kind of, you know, activity that they're trying to do, but we're trying to keep it out.
Yeah, and so he almost certainly is their pimp then. And,
oh, yeah.
And you could easily give that info to the cops, but they just... they don't have time. And I guess what makes that particularly sad is, you know, for somebody like you, and I talk about this all the time, our business community, our job creators, our tax providers, and the fact that they don't seem to care. Not only do they not care, it's like our city council has contempt for all aspects of capitalism, and that they actually seem to be fine with destroying businesses through their inactivity.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, like, we're not a corporate-run facility. We're a small, independently-owned business. You know, we're a family-run business. It's not just because we're a Comfort Inn label, like, we're under their umbrella, but we, you know, they don't pay our paychecks by any means.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the frustrating part. And then we've also, you know, not long ago, I want to say it was maybe 3 weeks ago, there was, I want to call it, a staff meeting next to St. Vincent de Paul, just across the street from our driveway.
Right.
And there was a man standing in front of, you know, 5 or 6 women. And, you know, he was giving them directions. And then they stood there for about 10 minutes and they dispersed. And he was, you know, he was gone. And it's like that, you know, he was giving them directions of what they were supposed to do. And I just, you know, the cops keep saying, that was one thing they kept saying last night, like, oh, it only goes up to 135th. No, it doesn't only go to 135th. Like, 137th is horrible. I see that in the middle of the day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was a van that pulled up, and a girl went over, and she was negotiating with her John right there on the corner. There was no cop in sight. There's traffic all over the place.
Sure.
There's people just walking up and down the street, and they didn't care that there was people just watching them. You know, it used to be at night they'd come out, but now they're just out constantly. And I get it. That's how they make their money.
Well, but, yeah.
The hotel's how I make my money.
What's so strange about that is every once in a while we'll hear about a Seattle police sting at a strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be 3 cops who've been undercover, and on their 8th visit, they finally make an arrest. And I'm thinking, why do we have time for that? But we don't have time for, you know, taking care of our business community that's being hurt by the crime on the street. And there are other motels, I heard you say, that are just known for their hourly rates and being
they're total totally are.
Hosts for the parties.
Down south of 125th, those places are all known for that. And that's like, that's another thing they said yesterday. They said, oh, you know, it's a long process to put these people on notice and to clean these areas up and blah, 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 blah. My dad has lived in this area since he was 12. And it has always been like that.
Yeah.
So they say it's a long, long process. Like, it's taken 40 years and they still haven't done anything about it.
Yeah. It's very sad. It's just sad what's happened with the people we've elected. Well, I'm sorry for what's happening to you and your biz, but at least you got the word out that it's not your fault. The Comfort Inn and Suites is not to blame for the nonsense going on the sidewalk.
No, but if you need great customer service or anything like that, like, we have it, so come see us.
All right.
That's another thing that I told Sergeant Tom last night. I can't remember, his last name starts with a P. You know, they said that they're out in the middle of the night patrolling and doing things like that. And I told them, if you need to refill your coffee, if you need to take a breather for a second, if you want a cup of yogurt, like, come see us and we will, you know, we'll give that to you.
Yeah.
We'll work with you. Like, what do we need to do to create a, you know, task force, essentially, to work with them and help create a solution to this problem?
Yeah. Now, until we get different city council, it's going to just keep getting worse and worse. Yeah.
All right. Another, you know, I have people, I'm telling people directly, just email your complaints to Seattle City Council, because there's nothing that we can do about it.
Yep. I know it.
Another thing we're having them do.
Okay, Candace, will you hang in there? And I hope things turn around one of these days for all of you job creators out there.
Oh, thank you, Dory, so much. I so appreciate your guys' support.
Okay, you bet. Thanks, Candace. Candace Robertson, Comfort Inn and Suites on Aurora Avenue. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text us at 98973. 98973, that's the online Trading Academy text line. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Did you hear the breaking news that happened during our show yesterday? And I'm telling you, I can't believe this is not getting more media attention. I watched all the newscasts last night. I didn't see it. Maybe I missed it. But the King County prosecutor, Dan Satterberg, has announced that drugs are now legal in King County. And I'm not making this up. We're going to talk to Dan Satterberg. He's going to join us, I think, in the big lead at 2 today. But if you have a small amount of any drug, heroin, meth, crack, powder, anything, if it's a gram or less, the King County prosecutor yesterday announced he will not prosecute. Everett or Snohomish County did that a few months ago. I talked to their prosecutors about that on the show. And I said, so is this a de facto legalization of all drugs? And they said, well, I'm not calling it that, but I can see why you would see it that way. So I'll talk to Dan Satterberg about this. But and they say that they're going to do this lead program where they're going to push more people into drug treatment. I'm all for that. I am not for making an announcement to the nation's heroin addicts that you don't have to worry about the law. And I guess if you have a gram, inject it quick, then go get another gram, inject that as soon as you need, then go get another. You won't have to, you'll never have to worry about facing prosecution in King County or Snohomish County. And the reason why I find this so disturbing, and maybe Dan Satterberg can talk me out of my perspective on this, but I think the addicts around the country are flocking here. I mean, I know they are, because we have leaders who have declared that our region is the path of zero resistance if you are an addict. You want to shoot up in our parks, our school, playgrounds? Shoot up. Somebody sent me a picture that they took yesterday, I think it was, of just downtown Seattle on a stairway. They took a picture of a guy who's shooting up, injecting a needle. Looked like it was in his leg. He was injecting in his leg. But they sent me the photo and said, here, look what I just saw moments ago. Of course, our nation's addicts are going to come here. And we can spend billions of dollars on housing, but we're not going to be able to house them faster than they come in from around the country. Because the word is out. We'll give you free stuff. We'll give you a government. We'll give you a place to come and inject. Sally Dime Bagshaw wants to explore if the taxpayers should buy the heroin for the addicts. There's no way we're going to keep up with the influx. There's absolutely no way. So Kincaid Prosecutor Dan Satterberg, see if he can change my mind on this, coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I tell you what, man, the more I think about one of the big stories going on nationally, this white woman cop in Dallas, 30 years old, who walked in the black guy's apartment and shot and killed him. This, in my mind, because people think I'm some blind defender of cops, but this is the worst police shooting I can think of. Shooting a man in his home. And then and she only is up on, they arrested her and have charged her with manslaughter. And the reason she said that she accidentally walked into the wrong apartment, thought it was hers, the door was ajar, she sees a black guy in there, and that he didn't follow her orders when she drew her gun. That's what she said in her statement that led to her being arrested on manslaughter. Since when did any of us have to obey the orders of somebody who has illegally walked into our home? I don't care if she's a cop. She wasn't a cop at that point. She was just an armed intruder. And the fact that, let me read to you, Texas law. Definition of murder in Texas. Intentionally or knowingly causing the death of an individual. Manslaughter is when someone recklessly causes death. Well, she clearly, intentionally, knowingly caused the death of this man. And I can't believe it's just the African-American community down in Dallas that's protesting this. I think every single person in that city should be in the streets protesting this one. That's just a rogue individual. The fact that she was a cop and she only gets charged with manslaughter. Now, a grand jury can upgrade the charge to murder. But this is as bad as a police shooting gets, man. Best 15's coming up next.